Hi, everyone. Well, by now, you probably figured out that Troy and Suzanne are not here. They are enjoying a few short days of relaxation and vacation. And just in case some of you don't know who I am, my name is Dennis Poff, and my wife, Sandy, and I are Suzanne Champ's parents. Say it another way, that means I'm Troy's father-in-law. And so from time to time, he asks if I would come and share. And it's always such a privilege for me to come before you and open up God's Word. So I'm glad you're here. You look great. But before we start, I believe that God's given me a specific and a simple and practical message to share with you. But I want to pray because I don't know if you know this or not, but God is here. And so let's pray that supernaturally he will communicate with us heart to heart, spirit to spirit in such a way that when you leave here today, for sure, you will know that you've heard from God. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We acknowledge your sovereignty over our lives. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit be free to move among us. God, speak as only you can speak to the inner person. God, I believe you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our scripture text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." As fully devoted followers of Christ, we are to be people of influence. Did you know that you were influential? I mean, think about your lives. People in your life who have influenced you. It may be a coach. It may be a teacher. It may be a pastor. But from a spiritual perspective, think about those people in your lives that help point you to Jesus. What was it about them that made them influential? Because we have believed and trusted in Jesus, we have the light of the Holy Spirit living in us. And God wants to communicate through us to the ones we love and to others in the world. We need to reflect his character and his life. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." As we journey with Jesus, it's amazing what he can do through us and in spite of us. I mean, we're all imperfect people, yet God can continue to work through us. What he asks for is our availability and our willingness to be used. Perhaps you will influence someone one-on-one. Maybe it's a few quiet words over a cup of coffee. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's a word of encouragement or a hug. God can work through us, and we become vessels for him to shine his light through us. The truth is, people are watching. They watch what you do. They watch what you say. They're wanting to find out what really makes you tick. Does your light shine brightly for Jesus? You may think, well, you know, I probably could never influence anyone for Christ. Let me encourage you. You have what it takes. Remember, it's just your willingness to please Him and your availability. It's all He asks. He will present opportunities for you. But here's the problem for many of us. If we were truthful with ourselves, we would say, well, I intend to let that light shine through me. I intend to be an influence for Christ. I intend for others to see that love coming through me. But in reality, we fall short. Oh, there may be many, many reasons why we are missing the mark. More often than not, we have good intentions, but we get distracted. What I want to share with you today are a couple of those major distractions. The first one is busyness. In today's world, it's crazy. We have cell phones, we have PCs, we have our watches, we have our schedules. There seems to be not enough hours in the day to get accomplished all the important tasks that we have. I mean, we're wired. Schoolwork. I was talking to a person last night, and they're in summer school. They're going 30 hours a week just to classes. Wow, there just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. And I admit to you, from time to time, I get overwhelmed. I almost wish there was 27 hours in a day and not 24 hours in a day to try to get things done. Well, I have a confession to make. I've learned to multitask. And it's almost like juggling. And as long as I keep those pins in the air, everything's fine. But when I start dropping those pins, my life is out of balance. I recently saw an article, and the title said, Fast Pace Leads Us to Bad Health. And it says in this article that doctors have identified a new illness. It's called the hurry-up disease. We hurry to get up in the morning. We hurry to shower. We hurry to have breakfast, or we skip breakfast because we're running late. We hurry to work in traffic. We hurry home in the evening in traffic. We hurry up to have dinner. We hurry to watch the news or get caught up on Facebook. We hurry to bed, to hurry to get back to sleep so that we can get up and do the same thing over and over again. Does that sound like you? When you think about it, it's almost like being a gerbil on the spinning wheel of life. The only problem is, That's beginning to look like my face on that gerbil. I feel overwhelmed at times. Okay, so let me ask you, this may not ever happen to anybody except me, but have you ever gone to the grocery store and you got fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, with every intention to prepare them for dinner, only 2 weeks later to open up your refrigerator and find that there's this gray, green, brown mold growing on the things? And you end up having to throw them away because you just didn't have any time. Or maybe, like me, you've done this. I needed to thaw out meat, so I put it in the dishwasher, turned it on full cycle, no soap, to thaw out the meat. No one's ever done that? Okay. All right, well, how about this? Have you ever tried to dry your socks in the microwave? Am I the only one that gets out of balance? Here's a question for you. Consider this. I know my life is out of balance when? You fill in the blanks. For me, I know my life is out of balance when I hear, "You've got mail," and I start crying. Our oldest daughter, Stephanie, has three girls, and a few years back, when they were smaller, it was a real task to go to the grocery store to buy groceries. And so she would pack the girls up, and they'd get to the store, two of them walking by the cart, one of them in the cart. She had her list. She was very careful to go up and down every row to make sure she didn't forget something. While she was trying to manage the two on the outside who wanted everything. Ever been there? Such an ordeal. She finally gets her groceries. She takes them to the car, starts loading them in the trunk. And Madison said, "Mommy, where are the shopping bags? Where's the grocery bags?" Shock. She forgot to pay. So she had to put all the groceries back in the cars, get the three girls, go back in. How embarrassing. Well, you could tell that she was a little overwhelmed and her life was out of balance. Wouldn't it be great if we had a time management consultant? Maybe like a dad and his boy. You know, son, go here, go there, do this, don't do that. Just guidance. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could just have Jesus come alongside of us and go, "Okay, Dennis, that thing right there, don't do that. That's a waste of time. This one over here, this one is important. Do this. You can do this, but only if it doesn't get in the way of that." Wouldn't it be great if we had someone daily to lead us like that? Well, the good news is we do. We have the Holy Spirit in us who is ready and willing, day by day, activity, business meeting, to help us along this journey. And you know what? The fee is absolutely nothing or absolutely everything, depending on how you look at it. Are you so busy and distracted that you have pushed God back here? Second major distraction that keeps us from letting our light shine brightly for Jesus is anxiety and stress. Busyness can lead to anxiety and stress and can hinder your relationship with God. So, when I became a committed follower of Christ, I wanted to please Him. And I thought that meant doing things for Him. And so on top of our already busy schedule, Sandy and I said yes to just about everything that we needed to do in the church that could help. And I'm not saying that it's not important to work in the church, because that may be the stuff that Jesus says, "This is important, this is a waste of time." But in total, what I'm trying to say is, you can get so filled up that you begin to exclude God in your lives and experience stress. And have you heard this word? Burnout. You see, I just can't find it in the Bible that God intended us to live stressed out lives. I heard that if you start burning the candle at both ends, sooner or later, you'll burn the wick. Stress can hinder you. You see, my detailed calendar had everything in it that made me feel like I was accomplishing worthwhile tasks, you know, important things. But when I stepped back and analyzed it from my heart, I began to realize that most of the commitments and activities were made to make me look important or spiritual or valuable to other people. So is our relationship with Jesus about doing things for Him? What's more important, doing things for Him or knowing Him? If your busy schedule, anxiety, stress keep you from knowing Jesus, cut your list. Give your permission to say no, but stay connected to Him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And why are you so anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, do not be anxious. Sandy and I love living in Salt Lake City, and we love spring and summertime here, and we'll go out on our patio, and we have bird feeders up, and I just got to tell you, this may come as a shock to you, but I have yet to see a bird sitting on a limb or on a power line just trembling and shaking like this. We have a blue jay that comes around from time to time. I've never seen that blue jay stressing out or having a nervous breakdown. I mean, can you imagine the blue jay? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What am I going to eat tomorrow? Where am I going to find the worms? What if Sandy and Dennis don't fill up the bird feeders? What are we going to do? What if it rains? Where am I going to have shelter? Oh my gosh, what if I see a cat? I've never seen that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Is God trustworthy? Can you really believe what he says in his word? God can provide for you. Anxiety and stress are just distractions that keep you from being in relationship and trusting him. It will affect and diminish your spiritual influence. Troy has shared with us on numerous occasions, the simplicity of the gospel is summed up in this: love God and love people. Is that true in your life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Do you love God with all your heart? If so, how are you being an influence for him to others? So what do we need to change in our lives? I mean, what's really important in our really busy lives? Well, the foundation for balanced living is found in the condition of our hearts. Our hearts, the inner source of our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, our passions, our choices. If our hearts are right with God, he is able to work through us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Our words and our actions, our behaviors, flow from our hearts. If our lives are out of balance, we need to check our priorities, check our motives, check our passions, check our beliefs to ensure that the fruit we produce is good fruit. Fundamentally, it comes down to this: the quality of our relationship with Jesus. If you don't hear anything else, hear this: God is the destiny of every believer's heart. God is the destiny of every believer's heart. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is found in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to these words. Beginning in verse 15, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. What that says to me is we were born to love Jesus. There's an emptiness in our hearts that only He can fill. While living in Atlanta, Sandy and I attended a huge Methodist church. And we joined the church because we had to join the church for me to play softball. It's real spiritual, isn't it? We joined the church so I could play softball. And I was a good person. I believed intellectually there was a God. And I felt like, you know, we needed to have our girls in church. So they needed to go to Sunday school, needed to be in youth. But while there, God pursued us. I wish I could tell you that I found Jesus, but I didn't. He found me. I knew enough from growing up in the church to be dangerous. I could talk about the Bible. I could talk a good game. I was a good person. And I was pretty sure, as much as we went to church, that I was going to go to heaven. You know, don't you know that God... How many Sundays did Dennis go to church? Oh, he went this Sunday, give him a check, give him credit. I thought that. Our pastor was a lovely, lovely country man. And he always talked about having a personal relationship with Jesus. The only problem is he never really told us how to get that started. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Really? Well, God continued to pursue us. And part of that pursuit was that He led me in His scriptures to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All. Does that mean me? It does. It means me. Okay? And also in chapter 3 it says, "For there is no one righteous, no, not one." Whoa, I just thought I had to be a good person. That argument just went out the door. And I began to understand that for years, I had taken control of my life. I did not want to give that control up to anybody. I felt I knew the best way to run my life and make my own decisions and do it my way. And yeah, I believe in God, but yeah, I was sitting on the throne of my heart. And I was lost. And I didn't have Christ. So then I went to Romans chapter 6. And in verse 23 it says, "For the wages of sin is death." Not physical death. Spiritual death. eternal separation from God. So, it says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So here's the dilemma. Eternal life with God, eternal separation from God. Whoa. I came to a point where I recognized that in my wisdom, my choices, I'd run this thing in the ditch. I'd really made a mess of things. And I really did need help. And I needed from someone bigger than me. And so I made a conscious decision to believe in my heart and to trust Jesus with my life and my family and my future. The Bible says in Romans, it's a dangerous book. Don't read it if you don't want to. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, from my heart, I ask him to forgive me. And I ask him to be my Lord and my Savior. I humbled myself before him. And can I tell you something? Humility is irresistible to God. Humility is irresistible to God. So with that decision and a little expression of my faith, a size of a mustard seed, God accepted me, and it's been an amazing journey. And through this journey, his light shines. Now, can I be honest with you? It's not about saying specific words in a prayer. I don't even remember what words I said. That doesn't matter. It's not that you've got to come to an altar of a church and pray a prayer. It's not about that. The point is, each of you have to make a personal decision at some point whether to trust Jesus with your whole life and heart. As we sang, I called and you answered. Oh, call. Call. He's right there. If you really don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, let me just share something with you. This is the truth. God is especially fond of you. God is especially fond of you and desires a relationship with you. Today is not your last chance. Oh no, but it's your best chance to invite him to come into your life. For the rest of us who already have a personal relationship with the Lord, let me remind you of this. C.S. Lewis said, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing yet had been done. So you see, it's not, well, I prayed a prayer, check it off the list. Oh no. It's a daily thing. It's a daily surrendering of your life. It's a daily surrendering of your heart. It's a daily conversation with him. If your spiritual light is dim, if your schedule has pushed God to the background, if you're so busy and anxious and stressed out that you have no peace in your life, if your actions and your behavior do not reflect the love of God to others, stop. Check the condition of your heart. Cry out to God. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for restoration. He is so willing to accept you back. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that something in this message will resonate in someone here. God, that you would plant these seeds in their hearts. And it's so easy to walk out of these doors and forget everything. God, I pray that that which you want us to remember will be there and we'll ponder these things. And God, if we've let things get in the way of our relationship with you, I pray that you would bring us to a point of recognition and that we'll reach out to you. God, I'm so grateful that you know what's best for us and that you love us and that you want to lead us. So God, help us to have the faith to believe, even the smallest of faith, to believe you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thanks again for coming this morning. I know Troy, when he's not up here, it's just hard because that's what he's called to do. And he loves you, and we'll be back soon. If you would like to receive prayer for anything, there'll be some great people here at the front that'll be happy to agree with you in prayer. Take what you've heard. Don't let it fall away. Ponder it in your hearts. And respond in the way that God will want you to respond. Okay? God bless you.